الله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك من زانت به العسر. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل ما أسألكم عليه من أجر وما أنا من المتكلفين. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: البذاذة من الإيمان. صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين. Respected elders, brothers in Islam, in this month of Rabiul Awwal, for the past 2-3 weeks, we were focusing on the life of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the light of the Quran al-Kareem, Allah says, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. That in the Rasul of Allah, there is أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ, there is a beautiful example. And remember, brothers, that this example is in every aspect of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whether it is the way he spoke, the way he slept, the way he dressed, the way he walked and talked, the way he did business with people, the way he treated people. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a person who was always, when they say always, 24 hours a day, for his entire lifespan, 63 years, he was always under the divine guidance of Allah. He never said anything or did anything, even his thoughts were controlled by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now there is no doubt that whatever he did, if you follow it, that is now your sunnah, that is your guidance. So, we look at one principle that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam laid down for us. He taught it to us, and then he also showed us in practice. He said, Al-Baghadatu minal Iman. When this hadith sharif is narrated, the Sahaba say he repeated this 3 times. Al-Baghadatu minal Iman. Baghada means simplicity. Simplicity is part and parcel of Iman. Now imagine, the first thing we learned, that this simplicity, it is part of Iman. He doesn't say it is part of Islam. There is a slight difference, although Iman and Islam normally used as the same thing. You say you got Iman, you are Muslim. But the slight difference is that Iman is in the heart. Your Islam is outwardly. If you see a person making salah, dressing as a Muslim, then you say he's a Muslim. You won't say he's a mu'min, you say he's a Muslim, because outwardly you can see, I can see Islam upon this person's face, upon his dressing, in his lifestyle. What is in the heart? That is Iman. So look how deep this goes. He says simplicity is part of Iman, that is, it is in your heart. The attitude, the concept of this simplicity, it is in the heart. What is the meaning of simplicity? We all know what it means to be simple. In other terms, you can say to be humble, to have humility. A simple person lives a life, he doesn't have any airs about himself. He doesn't portray an image that is not true. He doesn't show himself to be what he not is, what he is not. That is simplicity. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lived a life like this. So much so that if something was wrong with his garment, his sleeve was too long, so simple was, he would cut it off. He would cut it off and say, throw this piece away, and that's enough for me. Look how simple. If the garment tore, he would patch it up. Me and you, if our kurta or the shirt breaks, we need to buy a new one. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lived the simple life. Now, brothers, what we notice here, before we branch off to something else. All the teachings of Islam, every single ta'aleem of Islam, it is designed in such a way by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to even assist you and Muslims in a worldly sense. Even in your worldly life, you benefit. Islam costs you nothing to practice. A person who practices on proper Islam, it costs him nothing. You save a lot of money. And I'll give you examples now. Simplicity. Now a person who loves their life, you find some people love in such a way that they always assume a position in society, but they are not truly like that. It is not their true position. The Quran al-Karim says, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, commanded by Allah, قُلْ مَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ مِنْ أَجْرٍ. That you must tell the kuffar, I don't ask any payment from you. When I do this work of deen, I don't want money from you. All I want from you is that you must accept the message, you must accept the deen of Islam. وَمَا أَنَا مِنَ الْمُتَكَلِّفِينَ. And I am not among those who are mutakallif. What's the meaning of mutakallif? The word mutakallif comes from takalluf. Takalluf means the opposite of simple. A person, as I said, that you do things that are not true. Something else is in your heart, but you portray another image. You are a different person, but you show something else. This is what it means to be simple. So when you meet a Muslim today, there's a, you know, I think we call it a catchphrase, transparency. When you go into companies and into government departments, they say transparency, but that's the last thing you find. Every second person is a crook. Transparency you find in Islam. When you meet a mu'min, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, إِنَّ الْمُؤْمِنَ غِرٌّ كَرِيمٌ. A mu'min is a simple person and his kareem is noble. When you deal with a mu'min, you can shut your eyes. You just know that this man will never do me down, he will never deceive me, he will never crook me. That is simplicity. Look at this, there was a Sahabi. He came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He complained, he said, Ya Rasulullah, I don't know how to do business. So when I do a deal with people, I always suffer. I always get the worst, I'm always on the receiving end, and I always suffer losses in my deals. Now look at the simplicity among the Sahaba. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that when you go, the next time, now do this. When you go into the marketplace, when you do a deal with a person, you say, La khalabata. That means, I don't want to be cheated. I don't want to be deceived. Make this announcement to people. Sahaba was so simple when they thought that this man is a simple person, he doesn't know how to do business, they would treat him with care. Now this is all part and parcel of the simplicity in the life of the Sahaba. Now I want to actually move on to another area in our life, in the life rather of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that is, how did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam conduct his marriages? Imagine he married 11 women. And at one time he was married to 9 wives. The one passed away, Khadija radiallahu anha passed away. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was married to Hazrat Khadija for 17 years. He was 25 years old when he made nikah to Hazrat Khadija radiallahu anha. Now you tell me, brothers, 25, we all are men 30 years. We know what it is when you are 25, 26, that is the prime of your youth. The prime of his youth, 25 at 17 to that, what do you get? 42. For 17 years, up to the age of 40, he was married to only one woman, and that too, it was a widow of 40 years, a widow who was 15 years his senior. Now keep this in mind. Before someone comes along and tells you that, look at your prophet, he was a womanizer, look at the women he had. You tell me, if he was a womanizer, would he say what was one wife? When he firstly married a widow, who's 15 years his senior, who's got children, and at the age of 25, normally people are old, they are maybe 56, 50 years old, so now they say, let's take an old woman, they want to get married, to take a woman of our age. A man of 25, you're looking for a young girl, but he survived with this widow and he was 17 years married to her. He never married any other woman during that period. This was one of the respects that he gave to Hazrat Khadija radiallahu anha. And that is why the ulama have written, in fact it comes in the hadith also, that a man who marries a woman, and then after that, out of respect for that woman, to keep her heart happy, He doesn't marry another, a second wife. Allah Ta'ala will grant that person Jannah. Allah grant that person Jannah when he respects his wife just to keep her happy, because we know how it is. A woman will never stand another woman in the marriage. So, after this marriage was finished, Hazrat Khadija Rabi'ana, after she passed away, it was a very traumatic period for the children also, because he lost his uncle and he lost his beloved wife, Hazrat Khadija Rabi'ana. Within the space of 40 days, two great blows that were dealt to him, but Allah Ta'ala granted him that sabr. We said last night, the amount of calamities and the amount of difficulties that came upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, no one ever in the past, nor will there anyone in the future has experienced such calamities, such hardship. So after Hazrat Khadija passed away, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam had no intention to marry, because he was a person, he said, I love women. Among the three things that he loved, salah, perfume, itar, and women. But he had such great control over himself that if he focused himself on Allah, there was absolutely no feeling for women. So he had no intention of marriage until a lady by the name of Khawla binti Hukayl, she came to him and she said, Ya Rasulullah, don't you want to get married again? So he says, who is there that wants to marry me? She says, there is a virgin and there is a married woman, a widow, a virgin and a widow. He asked, who is the virgin? She says, Aisha radiallahu anha. Who is the widow? Sawda binti Zumara radiallahu anha. Sawda was the elderly lady. So the minister said to her, and okay, fine, you go and you take the proposal. So Khawla binti Hukayl went. She proposed to Hazrat Abu Bakr on behalf of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Look at the integrity of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq and look at the simplicity. Now I'm mentioning this, brothers, because we have a huge problem with the marriages today. We have a problem in the lead up, in the build up to all marriages. We have a problem when the nikah takes place, when the wedding takes place. And we have even bigger problems after the nikah. And I can guarantee you, I give you a promise, inshallah, if your build up to that nikah is filled with barakat and blessings, if your nikah is done with barakah and blessing, then after that there is no problem. What did the Prophet of Allah say? He says, Inna a'zama al-nikahi barakatan aysaruhu ma'unatan. The nikah, Inna a'zama al-nikah. Verily, the best nikah, barakatan, with regard to barakah, aysaruhu is that nikah which incurs the least ma'unatan, the least expense. The nikah that has the greatest barakah is the nikah that has the least expense. That's one guideline for us. So anyhow, look at this build up to the nikah. Look at the simplicity. Al-bazaratu min al-iman. A person who hasn't got simplicity, his iman is deficient. One thing I must remember before I forget, simplicity is the opposite of riya. What is the meaning of riya? Riya means to show off. A person who isn't simple, you find that person is thrown to show off, to brag, to boast to people. So, riya is haram, so it shows that it's important, it's very important, it is an integral part of your iman to look simple. Your dressing must be simple. So, this Khawla binti Hukayl went, she spoke to Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. She spoke first to the mother of Hazrat Aisha, Umm Ruman. There's something to learn here. She spoke to the mother. The mother said that, wait, I'm happy with this proposal, I will accept it blind-eyed, but wait for the father to come. Wait for Abu Bakr to come. Let him have the final decision. What happens today? The final decision must be with the women. They want to have the most say in the nikah, and that is when you have all the problems. So she waits, Hazrat Abu Bakr comes back, the proposal is given, Hazrat Abu Bakr said that this is barakat from Allah. What a great thing! The Prophet of Allah proposing for my daughter. But I can't give you an answer, you wait here. Now look at the simplicity, he says, wait here. He doesn't say, go back, I'll get back to you after 1 month, after 2 months. He says, you sit here, I'm coming now. And he goes to Mu'in ibn Adi, who was not a Muslim at that stage. And why he goes there? Because Mu'in ibn Adi had initially proposed to Hazrat Abu Bakr for Hazrat Aisha to get married to his son Jubair ibn Mu'in. He later accepted Islam, they all accepted Islam, but at that stage they were not Muslims. This was in Makkah. This proposal was in Makkah. not in Medina. So he goes to Muslim Ibn Adi and he says, look, you remember you proposed for my daughter, for your son? Are you still interested? What do you want to do? Before Muslim Ibn Adi could answer his wife, Mut'im's wife, she started speaking and she was complaining. Her complaint was just that you people are Muslims. If my son does get married to your daughter, you'll make him also a Muslim. When she said this, Hazrat Abu Bakr says, right, my mind is made up. Just forget about it. The answer is no. And he gets up and he goes back and he tells Khawla that the proposal is accepted. And he says to Khawla رضي الله عنها that go and call the Prophet of Allah. Go and call him tomorrow. SubhanAllah, imagine what simplicity. When the message came, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, there was no thing like this that I am the Prophet of Allah, why must I go to him? He must come to me. Call him. Khawla says that Hazrat Abu Bakr invites you to his home. Immediately, without hesitation, he gets up and he goes there. And immediately they make the nikah. And the nikah is made by Hazrat Abu Bakr himself. The father makes the nikah. Today you make a nikah. Nikah is taking place. You've got to look for the binoculars. Where's the father? Can't even see him. He's hiding somewhere. Fathers come, they say, who must be the wakil for my daughter? I say, the best person is you. But he's the last person that wants to come for. Now what type of attitude is this? Hazrat Abu Bakr says, right, we make the nikah now. Call a few sahaba, they were witnesses. Hazrat Aisha Radhiyallahu Anha was so proud about this nikah. Now what was she proud of? Listen to this. The nikah was made in Makkah. The marriage was not consummated in Makkah. 3 years later, when they made hijrah, the nikah was consummated in Medina. And Hazrat Aisha Radhiyallahu Anha was brought to the house of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. She was left there by her mother. The next day, Hazrat Aisha Radhiyallahu Anha, that night the nikah was consummated. Later on, a few years later, when Hazrat Aisha speaks about this, she says, and this is how proud she is. It's actually a matter of pride for her. She says, مَا نُحِرَتْ عَلَيَّ جُزُورٌ وَلَا ذُبِحَتْ عَلَيَّ شَاتٌ. No camels were slaughtered for my nikah. No were any goats slaughtered. There was no big do and big bash. It was simple. Whatever the little food we had, that was the walima. Now imagine, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha amongst the leaders of the ladies in this world, among the great females in this ummah, one of the greatest ladies in this ummah, the mufti among the females in this ummah, she was a muftiya. What knowledge Allah granted her? What does she boast about? What does she brag about? مَا نُحْرَتْ عَلَيَّ جُزُورٌ وَلَا ذُبِحَتْ عَلَيَّ شَاتٌ. She brags of the simple walima that she has. Today, me and you, na'udhu billah, Allah save us, we brag about the huge and the massive walima we have. Like I was telling someone, you say, we only have a big bash. Allahumma fadlana will get bashed in Jahannam. Have a big bash here, the big bash will come in the akhirah. When Allah questions you, then why did you become so extravagant and spend thousands and thousands? People are taking loans. People are taking loans, and they are taking loans on interest just for that nikah, for that hall, and for that big wedding and that big do. So what is this? We have lost that simplicity. Al-bazalatu min al-iman. We have lost the simplicity of our iman. Look at this great people. Hazrat Abdul Rahman ibn Awf radiallahu anhu, he made nikah. He made a nikah. He was among the muhajirin. He made hijrah to Makkah, to Medina. The Ansar became the brothers of the muhajirin. They shared their houses with the muhajirin. They shared their wealth. They even shared their wives. In this sense, if a man had two wives, he says, I'll divorce one, you can marry her. So Hazrat Abdul Rahman ibn Awf, his Ansari brother says, look, I've got two wives, you've got no wife, I'll divorce her, you marry her. He says, don't worry, no sense, you barakallah, Allah give barakah in both your wives. I don't want your wife, you show me where's the marketplace, and I can work for my living, and I'll find my own way in this town. And he went and he worked, and when he got money, he made nikah. After the nikah, one day Nabi Sallallahu saw him, the day after the nikah, and he noticed on the garment of Hazrat Abdul Rahman there was a little bit of mehndi, the lina, which the women normally use on their hands at the time of nikah. So when he saw this, he realized that this, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam realized that this must be the mehndi of the nikah. So he says, look, mashallah, you seem to me that you got married. Hazrat Abdul Rahman ibn Awf said, yes, Ya Rasul, I got married. So he told me that you have a walima. He says, no, he says, awlim walaw bishafi. Have a walima, even if it means you must slaughter a goat. Now look at the simplicity here. What is the lesson we learn? The nikah was performed, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't even know about it. Forget about inviting the Prophet of Allah, he was not even informed. Today, my friend gets married, he doesn't invite me. I don't speak to that person for the next 10 years. It's like a war that will take place. That man has done the worst thing to me by not inviting me for a nikah. So much so, as I said, now we've got so much airs about ourselves, dear brothers, and this is all fine. If a person phones you that we're having some lunch here, can you join us? He phones you just before the lunch. Yes, if you've got a valid reason, you are busy maybe, that person didn't inform you in time, that's fine. But you've got no reason. You refuse that invitation just because you tell yourself that, why not invite me last minute? It's like that something, by the way, you saw me, now you call me to your house. You must invite me a week before. You must give me a formal invitation. What is this? It is our pride. And this is so serious. It may seem a joke to us, but it is so serious that people take it so serious and they don't speak to that person. They become bad friends with that person. And it is even worse among the ladies. So we need to get our priorities right. We need to understand what is the deen. What was the life of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Look at the simplicity. A Sahabi is so great. He didn't even tell the Prophet of Allah that he was married. And he told him, if you have your walima, he was not even invited, that was fine. So you can look through the pages of history, the life of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam regarding nikah, and you will see, you will realize all these marriages. There was one Sahabi. He made nikah, and after the nikah, he said that I'm so proud of myself that we made the nikah. Hazrat Abu Darda, his son got married. His son got married, and Hazrat Abu Darda, when people asked him that, I believe your son got married, he said yes. And after confirming the marriage of his son, he said, and you know what? We had a walima. And you know what was our walima? I went in the house and I got a bit of grain and some flour, and we quickly baked some bread and we made something and we called a few people, and that was our walima. They were proud even to mention this. Nowadays, if someone asks you that, how did you have your nikah? How many people did you invite? Where did you have the nikah? What hall did you hire? And how many people came? We are shy to say that no, we had the nikah in the house and we invited only 15 people, 20 people. For us to propagate the deen, to display our deen, it is something to be embarrassed about. Now you tell me, dear brothers, where are we heading? What is our direction in life? In order for a nikah to be conducted on the sunnah method, there's one condition. And I can guarantee you, inshallah, if you get this right, you've got no problem. The condition is, both parties must agree to that. Girls party, boys party. I know of many cases, the boys party come and they say, look, we want to make nikah, we want to conduct it according to the sunnah method. So they are keen on this. The girls party have got other ideas. No, we must have a hall. We must invite so many people. We must hire this and hire that. So now there is a clash. And normally what happens, to keep the peace, the one party gives in. And what is so ironic about the whole thing? Who do you think will give in? Not the party that is of the haq. The party that did the wrong thing. The party that is going against Sharia, they're supposed to give in and say, right, this is Sharia, we give in. No, the other party will give in and say, right, okay, just to keep the peace, we will agree, have the nikah in the hall, have what you want. So when both parties think alike, when they both agree, when they both understand that, look, this is Sharia, this is Sunnah, we are going to do it in this way. When there is commitment from both sides, inshallah, it will no problem. We've seen it. We've seen people, wealthy people, alhamdulillah, Allah gave them, but simple, the nikah was simple, there was no hall, there was no hiring of things, people sat on the floor. Our sisters, I think, it seems to me that the sunnah of sitting on the floor only applies to men. You never find the women sitting on the floor. They've got to sit on tables, they've got to hire tables and chairs, and I know one of the reasons is this, that they don't want to create their dresses, they want smart dresses. Every nikah, the woman buys a new dress. So if I sit on the floor, I'll damage my clothing will become untidy. Now we can understand, we can imagine now, where is the iman in that woman? It's a joke, as I said, we smile, we laugh at this, but it's serious. Is he serious? Where is the iman of that woman that she will discard a sunnah? And not only one, hundreds of them, they will discard a sunnah just for the sake of the clothing. And our men, we are so pathetic, we are so pathetic, we cannot even guide those ladies. Qiyamah day, you will be questioned. Allah says in the Quran Kareem,
يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قُوْ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا.
Oh believers, O people of Iman, قُوْ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ. You must save yourselves and your families from Jahannam. You have a duty to make the belief, to make the da'wah, must go firstly to your wife and your children. We will be questioned, we will be asked by Allah Ta'ala that what did you do to get the life of your wife correct, I mean, according to Sharia. So this is the simplicity of Islam. Inshallah, if we can develop this, and if people from all sides, from both spectrums, the girl side, boy side, if we all agree, then inshallah you find our nikah will be conducted according to Sharia, according to Sunnah, and you save so much money, dear brothers. It pains the heart to see people spend thousands, and there are people, leave alone, forget about Malawi and Somalia, those places, there are people right in our own town, in our own country, that are starving, that are in need. People are in need of so many things, and we are wasting that money. We could save that money. We tell people that tell the other party, look, you want to hire a hall and you want to hire so much things, how much will it cost you? 5,000, 10,000? Give that money in charity. Send it maybe to people who are suffering famine and drought, and you'll get the sawab. How much sawab you get? There was a Sahabi, I'll just end with the story of Abdullah ibn Quras radiallahu anhu. He was a Sahabi, a companion, a disciple of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Where was he from? Where was he from? You'll be surprised. He was from Somalia. He was a Somali. A friend in the camp of the brothers of Somali, from their country, they came a Sahabi. And he was so prominent that Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu appointed him as the governor in Medina, in one of the provinces of Arabia. He was appointed as a governor. So one night he was making his patrol. He was doing a patrol of the town, going to the house, checking on people, and he came across a procession. There were lots of lights and there was lots of music and singing, and he discovered that these people are having a wedding. And they are singing there's music. And this is what happens to in our wedding. Videos, photography, music. So Hazrat Abdullah bin Quras took his work. Obviously he was the Amir, he was the Hakim, he was the governor. He could implement, he could do the Amr bin Ma'ruf, Nahi al Munkar was false. So he took his work and he threatened those people that if you don't disperse, I'm going to beat you. You are doing something that is against Sharia, you've got to disperse and stop this. They all stopped immediately and they all went home. The whole wedding procession was brought to a halt. They stopped it. He went away, they all went away the next morning. After the Fajr Salah, Hazrat Abdullah bin Quras radiallahu anhu got onto the minbar and he delivered a sermon. He told the people that please remain seated, I have something to tell you. And he said that when I remember a wedding in the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Jundula radiallahu anhu was a Sahabi. And he married a lady, a girl by the name of Umama. They made that nikah. And after making the nikah, it was a simple nikah, and they brought some dates, and a bit of cheese, and a bit of bread, and they put it down, and they said, right, Bismillah, kul Bismillah, eat in the name of Allah. A few people ate, and that was the nikah. And he said, Rahimallahu Aba Jandala, wa Rahma Alama, Umama, may Allah have mercy upon Abu Jundala and upon Umama radiallahu anha. May Allah give them barakah in that marriage, and may Allah curse. Now listen to these words, these are Sahaba. To us it may seem harsh, but that was the level of Iman of the Sahaba. He said, may Allah curse the procession that I saw last night. It is not what my Rasul and my Master sallallahu alayhi wa wanted in his lifetime. So brothers, we must realize the simplicity of Iman, the simplicity of our deen, the simplicity that Allah has ordained for us. It demands our Iman, it demands from us that whatever we do, and especially now I'm focusing on our marriages, we take this lesson from the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whatever we do, it must be done in such a way that will please Allah. Why are we having so many problems in our nikah? I can actually show you, dear brothers, I can show you a marriage I can point out people to you where they got married according to the Sunnah and today they are living so happily with such harmony. And I can show you marriages where the deed of the ballab was wrong, the nikah was wrong, and 6 months down the line, 10 months down the line, there were so many things that happened, there's so much disharmony, so much enmity and fighting. So this is proven, it's proved through experience, inshallah. Allah will give us barakah and blessing, Allah will save us our money, as long as we adhere to that simplicity. The words of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I will repeat it, al-badadatu min al-iman. This badada, this simplicity, this down-to-earth living, this is part and parcel of iman.